What up, what up, what up, what up, what up? It is your boy Ray Nitty holding it down on the grapevine on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth, live from the American Family Insurance Studios. Man, how y'all feeling? I'm back from Poland, man. Feeling good. Feeling good. I was surprised. I had a good time. Had a good time, man. We just talked about my experience out there and some things that it opened my eyes to. 833-212-1017. That's the number to dial. 833-212-1017. That's the number to dial, man. Have you traveled out the country? How far have you traveled out the country? And what was that experience like for you? I want to know what that was like for y'all, man. Because, yes, I've traveled out the country many a times, right? But this was my first time going to, like, Poland, Europe, them sides of towns. And my expectations was, I did not have high hopes. I was not excited about Poland. And I owe Poland an apology, dog. I do. I was expecting to experience some of the most extreme versions of whiteness ever. And I was wrong. I was wrong, man. And I don't know what other people's experiences are, so I don't want to negate anybody else's experience, right? But mine was pretty damn good, man. I went out there for my sister's wedding, so congratulations to Renell and Chris. They got married in Poland, man. Poland food was slapping too, Zach. I ain't gonna lie, bro. I was expecting hella sauerkraut, like hella Polish sausages. I didn't have neither. Well, it was sauerkraut there. It was cabbage. And, you know, I tried it, but it was so much other food, man, that they had beef knuckle. They had something on the plane called beef cheeks. I was like, whoa, these cheeks are tender.
Oh.
It was so good, dog. It was so good. I can't make it up. Beef cheeks. I think I even got a picture of them. That sounds crazy, too. But, yeah, man, Poland was a shock, man. And it brought me to the idea of, you know, we've been lied to, man. Like, the American dream is starting to feel like a lie when you travel outside of your country. Like, the cost of living high as hell, you know. You got inflation just all over the place. Food extremely high. Why? Why? And I'm trying to find the right answers, man. I'm trying to find the real answers for why the American dream is a lie and why do it feel like we living in a scam, man. Where have you been? Where have you traveled to? 833-212-1017. That is the number to dial. 833-212-1017 is the number to dial. Jesus. Came back speaking Polish. Man. But yeah, man, we had a extremely, extremely, extremely great, great, great experience out there in Poland, man. Like I said, food was good. People was good. We're going to talk about the wedding experience on the actual lunch break show. So I want y'all to check that out. Man, so just checking in, man. It made me want to go and look into the American dream, man. Because I started feeling like, man, what's going on, man? How did we get here? How did we get here? We talked about tipping in the last show. And I wanted to do a deep dive into the American dream and some of the broken promises and what the American dream really promised. All right? So we're going to talk about that. Say, work hard, play by the rules. Each generation does better than the last. Home ownership, pension, or retirement, you know. Kids are supposed to be better off than their parents. You know, that's the deal that we were sold. That was the deal that we were sold. So, how did we get here? We want to talk about the data on whether that promise is actually being kept. And it isn't. It isn't. And it's real research qualifying exactly how much it's broken down. So, the real documented history of reproductive control in this country, what it looks like in Milwaukee specifically, you know, we want to really get into it. We ain't going to be on here trying to overstate things to make, you know, point angrier than the data makes it, you know. The real numbers, it's alarming enough on their own. So I don't need to add no personality to it. All right? Where have y'all traveled? Where have you been outside of? Have you even traveled outside of the state? 833-212-1017. Have you even traveled outside of the state? All right, we want to know. We want to see what is going on. What's really happening here? All right, we want to get into these things, man, because polling opened my eyes. It opened my eyes. What I was expecting and what my reality was two separate things. And if you listen to the Lunch Break Show, You would have probably heard that I wasn't too excited about getting over there. Flight would have, you know, flight is a long flight, 9 hours. So I'm like, well, what is going? But my sister's getting married, so I'm going. Met Chris' family. Chris has an amazing family, man. It was a great experience, man. Merging of cultures. We had Poland food served. We had Caribbean food served. Caribbean drinks, inspired drinks served. They had the moonshine, man, that they make out there in Poland. His pops made, his pops' friend made some moonshine. They drink. That's one thing they do out there, boss. They put it back. You hear me? And one thing I did realize is they might party a little harder than Americans. They just might. Wedding started at like 2. It's part of the American dream too, right? They say get married. They say get married, all of these things. And the cost of doing a wedding in America is insane because we put so much expectations on it. But they say a huge percentage of marriages fail because of finances within the first 3 years. But nevertheless, man, the American dream, we want to get into it. So today, we're going to talk about a couple of the promises that was broken. Broken promise number one was you're less likely to out-earn your parents than ever. Number two, the math doesn't work anymore. Then I wanted to get into the history of population control in America. Because I want to take a look at what that looks like in Milwaukee as well. And somehow I want to tie it into population and control into like, why are all the seeds getting removed from the fruit? Why are they regenerating the fruit to not have seeds, the vegetables to not have seeds? Why? Why? We want to talk about that. And then also I wanted to ask the question. Why are American products cheaper abroad than in America? Things that are made here cost us less out the country than here. And if you're an economist, if you got a degree to explain this, please call up. I'd love to get educated. I have my ideas, but those are just ideas. All right? I got some facts and data that we're going to go through. And then if we got time, I would love for us to get to how far we still have to go. How far do we still have to go? And is the American dream even attainable anymore? What up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome back. See my shooter pescatarian, but he eat up out of me. Man, to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth, live from the American Family Insurance Studios. It's your boy Ray Nitty holding it down on the grapevine. Man, tell somebody pull up, man. You can follow us on YouTube too. Please like and subscribe. 833-212-1017. That's the number to dial. We talking about the American dream, man. Have you traveled outside the country? Let's go to our chat. LaRon Taylor said 10 times in China, 5 times in Taiwan, India, going back for Christmas, Mexico, London, Ireland. The American dream is a lot of, man, you traveling, man. Your passport game, crazy. The American dream is a lot of propaganda, but more than any other country, America is supposed to give you the opportunity to be great. It also gives you the opportunity to fail if I'm the best. I don't need to keep telling you I'm the best. You just already know.
Bruh.
All right. I feel you. But, yeah, man, the American dream, man. We want to get into this, right? So broken promise number one. You are less likely to out-earn your parents than ever. All right? And this is fact-checked, published in the journal Science, led by Stanford's Raj Chetty, using de-identified IRS tax records, not survey estimates, okay? So just giving you an idea. This is the dream. This is the American dream, the American lie, man. 92% of children born in 1940 grew up to earn more than their parents did. Adjusted for inflation, for children born in 1984, that's me, that number has collapsed to just 50%, a coin flip. All right? So that's my generation. The decline hit every income level, but the middle class got hit the hardest. At the 50th percentile of parent income, the odds of a child out-earning their parents fell from 93% for the 1940 cohort to 45% in the 1980 cohort. So think about that. Is that about 20 years, 24 years later? Huge, huge drop. Hitting the middle class even the hardest, to where they say today the middle class don't even really exist. That's what they say. Research found the decline is not mainly about the slower economic growth. All right? It's about where that growth goes. Distributing today's GDP growth as evenly as it was distributed in 1940 would erase more than 70% of the entire decline. So the money is still being made. It's just not reaching most families anymore. Wonder why? Wonder why? Why? Why is it not? Let's say that again. Researchers found the decline is not mainly about slower economic growth. It's about where that growth goes. Distributing today's GDP growth as evenly as it was distributed in 1940 would erase more than 70% of the entire decline. The money is still being made. It's just not reaching most families anymore. The damage is heavily regional, okay? Rust Belt states, like your Michigan and Indiana, saw the mobility rate fall by roughly 49% points, percentage points. 49%. Nearly double the decline seen in states like Massachusetts or New York. Okay? So this isn't just an American story of shrinking opportunity. It's an American exception. Comparable countries do better. Guess where? Guess where, y'all? About 75% of Norwegian children out-earn their parents, along with 65 to 75% in Finland, Sweden, and ding, 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 the UK. The United States and Canada sit lower, around 55%. All right? So my point is, this lie, this promise that, you know, you out-earn typically the next generation is supposed to have it easier than the generation that came before them. So they say, work hard and do better than your parents. It used to be nearly a certainty, 92%. 92%. Now it's a coin flip, like 55, 50%. And the data says that that's a choice this country made about how growth gets shared. Not an unavoidable fact or economic life. So, wealth hoarding, okay? That's what I'm talking about. The money don't come, it don't stay to our families because we are completely overtaxed. Everything is overpriced. Everybody is price gouging. Even after the pandemic, everything went up. The cost of everything went up. And they say, oh, it was because of the pandemic. But now we're out of the pandemic. Nothing came back down. No, none of the prices came back down. Everything just even started going up even faster. All right. Prices started going up even faster. Things that didn't go up, people's job pay, minimum wage. You still can say, only 7 states make it legal to where you have to pay servers the minimum wage. Think about that. We live in a country where, as an entrepreneur, somebody that's deciding to open a business, you could pay somebody $2.13 an hour. And then pass the charge on to your customer and call it gratuity. I'm a business partner in this business now. Because my gratuity that you're charging me is going towards paying your server. I got no problem with tipping. Me and my wife, we have a thing. We feel like we tip on behalf of the black race. Because we know that our community is probably, we don't tip the greatest. But after traveling abroad and experiencing a country where tipping is not a necessity, it's not a thing, it's not something that they rely on or hold on to or force upon its customers. And if you're a business owner, please call in. I'd love to have this conversation. Because I'd love to know, why don't you just pay them the minimum wage? Why does it cost so much to run a business in this country? To where everything has to be passed off on the consumer. Why? Don't go anywhere, y'all. When we come back, we'll get back into promise number 2 that's been broken. The math doesn't work anymore. This is The Grapevine, your boy Ray Nitti holding it down. Don't go anywhere on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah. What's up?
Welcome to America, baby. Home of the brave. American dream, you know?
Yeah.
Dream.
What up, y'all? Welcome back. This is The Grapevine, your boy Ray Nitti holding it down. Brother Z holding us down with the production and sound on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Man, we talking about the American dream, man. Shouts out to everybody in the chat, man. 833-212-1017. Have you traveled out the country? What was the experience like? What did it make you realize about the country we live in today? All right? E. Gibson. All right. Says South Korea, Vietnam, Thailand, France, and Germany. I have all visited. LaRon Taylor says, sometimes I feel like restaurants should have no more tipping. Right. You know, I'm getting better at that. I was calling LaRonte for the first 2 months. LaRon Taylor, sometimes I feel like restaurants should have no more tipping. Pay their servers $30 an hour like they would make if tips were allowed. And then customers pay $25 for a 4 cheeseburger. We got to stop typing so fast. Let's take our time, man. Y'all got me sounding crazy. Remember the fight for 15 an hour? I remember that. I marched. For the fight for 15. We've been fighting for 15 a long time. For fast food workers, you didn't think that Big Mac meal was going to go up to 12, did you? But here's the thing. It's like they just, why was it just for fast food workers? Why wasn't it fight for 15 to just raise minimum wage in general? And I think we just have to have honest conversations about it's a two-part conversation we have here, right? Employers should pay their employees, period. Now, if my meal is a little higher or the product or the service that I'm coming for, and also I feel like tipping is like, man, that should be restricted to like if I'm coming in and actually sitting down and getting a service, like I'm being served. You know what I mean? That's why I feel like tipping it. Not if you just walked up to a counter and ordered something to go, and then they put no tip, 18, 15, 20. Like, yo, I came up here and just ordered this, man. Get this screen from in front of me, man. What is going on? But everything raised up. The cost of living went up. Nothing came down after the pandemic. So we're getting into broken promise number two. The math does not work anymore. A recap from recent show that we had. The U.S. national debt crossed $40 trillion this year. About $118,000 per American. While interest payments alone now exceed the entire defense budget. That's crazy. That's crazy. Total U.S. credit card debt sits around $1.25 trillion. The average American with a balance owes roughly $8,000 to $9,900, and two-thirds of Americans say they're currently in debt. We talked about this. We talked about it. Percent of people carrying credit card debt say a medical emergency or unexpected expense, not overspending, is what put them there. People don't really admit to overspending, though. I don't think people really be honest with themselves about overspending. It's so many things I overspend on, and I'm working on that, especially since I came back from Poland. Because there's no way that this five-course steak dinner in Poland cost me 60 here, 60 in Poland, and then it's like 250 in America. And then the flavors. Poland was impressive, man. We're gonna get into it. We don't admit to our overspending in this country either. The human nature to overspend, overconsume, that accompanied by the capitalist nature of overcharging, overpricing. All right? We create the demand. When they raise the price, we don't fall back on our spending. We don't curb our spending. We don't say, nah, we ain't going to spend that no more. We still buy it anyway. So they say, okay, they still buying it. That's what the consumer index is. They're still buying it, so we can keep raising. Like, if people weren't buying it, the prices wouldn't raise. LaRon Taylor says, there's a federal and state minimum wage, and there's also what businesses are paying. There are also what called a livable wage, which varies depending on who you talk to. 100% correct. All right. But once again, people will say it's medical bills or unexpected emergencies that cause them to go into debt, not overspending. But it was a lot of overspending that happened before the medical emergency took place. Because if we weren't overspending, we'd have the money for the medical insurance, the medical emergency. And I don't think we had an honest conversation with ourselves. All right? But that's another conversation. Wages have kept pace with any of this. Wages haven't kept pace with any of this, I should say. I apologize. All right? The $2, this is crazy. The $2.13 federal sub-minimum wage. This is what LaRon Taylor is talking about, not LaRon Tay. For tipped workers has been frozen since 1991, deliberately decoupled from future minimum wages increases by a 1996 law lobbied for by the restaurant industry. So the restaurant industry lobbied to make sure that that $2.13 was frozen. All right? And if you listen to us on the lunch break, that is now permanent. That is permanent. Restaurant industry lobbied to keep it at $2.13. Sub-minimum wage for tipped workers. That's why. Because it's for tipped workers. And then we got into where tipping came from, how they got to America. And people like to say, oh, you know, Shannon said it earlier. They love to say everything doesn't have to deal with slavery. And but then if you go do your history, Americans brought it over shortly after the Civil War. Why? Because niggas was free. Slaves was free. And we couldn't be slaves no more, so they had to pay us. So instead of paying us, they said, okay, we're going to tip them. So they would tip pennies, nothing at times. That's how tipping started. And now it's just became a natural thing to where it's 20%, 18%. Yes, people deserve to get paid. But I think as a business owner, I think it's your responsibility to pay your workers. When I open, I'm going to say this here. I'm going to say it on this show. Whenever we open our restaurant, we will not be paying people $2.13. We're not going to do it. I hope you listen to Amanda. We're not going to do it. We're going to pay people what they should get paid. And I would love to say that we ain't finna just be adding 18% gratuity. The crazy part about it is you probably don't even got to do it no more. People are so programmed to just thinking that they supposed to give 18%. They just going to give it. Some might not. But anyway, meanwhile, the cost of raising a child hit an estimated $303,418 from birth to 18 in 2026. The first time that figure has crossed $300,000, up roughly 28% in just 3 years. 28% in 3 years. This isn't one broken piece. It's the whole system pointing in the same direction at once. Record national debt, frozen wages at the bottom, household costs rising faster than paychecks. Work hard and get ahead assumes the math works right now for a lot of families. It mathematically doesn't. It don't work. It don't work, y'all. When we come back from break, we're going to get into this next segment. I want to talk about the real history of population control in America, all right? And this is real, not a conspiracy. It's documented state policy, actually. Would you be surprised? The American dream that we have been told and sold is a lie, all right? So when we come back, it was fact checked. The historical sterilization program details below are extensively documented in state records, court cases, and academic sources. The Irving County allegations are clearly labeled as disputed. All right? So don't go anywhere, y'all. When we come back, we'll get into the real history of population control right here on the Grapevine on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. What up, y'all? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It's your boy Ray Nitty holding it down on the grapevine on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Live from the American Family Assurance Studios. Brother Z holding us down with the production and the sound, man. Hey, we talk about that American dream today, man. Huh? Huh? We need a place to pitch. We need a mound. American dreaming, y'all. We getting into the real history of population control now. We getting into the real history of population control, all right? Documented state policy, North Carolina ran a state eugenics board form 1929 to 1974 that forcibly, hear me out, forcibly sterilized over 7,600 people. The majority was black. It was us. All right? And increasingly so over time. By the 1950s, fears of black population growth tied to welfare access explicitly drove the board's targeting, according to state record. This is what they said. Fears of black population growth tied to welfare access explicitly drove the board's targeting, according to state records. We're not even the heaviest users of welfare. We're not the heaviest recipients of welfare. You know who is? White people. White people are. Not us. Maybe I'm wrong. But last time I checked, it wasn't us. All right? Civil rights icon Fannie Lou Hamer coined the terms Mississippi appendectomy, after she went in for a minor tumor removal in 1961 and came out having been given a hysterectomy without her knowledge or consent. Just cut it out. A practice so common across the South, it had its own nickname. Okay? Nationally, an estimated 70,000 plus women were sterilized under state programs, many at federally funded clinics. A 1965 survey found roughly one third of Puerto Rican women aged 20 to 49 had been sterilized as part of U.S. population control programs on the island. They was doing it in Puerto Rico, not even in the States. They like, all right, we don't need no more Puerto Ricans leaving this island, coming to America, taking advantage of their citizenship. Neutralize them. Stop them from having babies. This wasn't hidden, y'all. This wasn't hidden. Legislators said the quiet part out loud. I wish we had a video of it. In North Carolina, state senator pushing 1950 sterilization legislation stood up at a public hearing and told a black audience directly that the goal was to stop what he called illegitimate births in their country. Senator did that. Who said it? I gotta Google who said it. Don't just give me half the meal. Give me the whole thing. Who said it? I'm gonna tell y'all who said it in a second. They didn't fully end when you expect it. California prisons You know they do what they want to do in them prisons. Sterilized at least 148 incarcerated women between 2006 and 2010. Many later saying they were coerced, and as recently as 2017, a Tennessee judge offered inmates a 30-day sentence reduction in exchange for undergoing sterilization. Think about that. That's 2017. Ron Taylor says, so most restaurants operate on 33, 34. Meeting food costs at 33%. Labor and marketing are 35%. And the owner take home 34%. Roughly at certain times, those figures can fluctuate. Chefs, cooks, bakers, dishwashers. I paid a flat wage over $15 an hour. Cooks are $25. Servers are $2 an hour because they make tips. Businesses that pay servers $15 an hour don't last. In my shop, we take your order, cook your food, and hand it to you, and I only have one person working at a time, two at the most, and they make $15 to $18 an hour plus tips, 80% of the people tip. So it sounds like you got a fair model that works. But I still would ask, like, okay, why not just pay the server the regular minimum wage? The $7.25 or whatever that is. So just my thoughts, man. We're gonna keep it going. We said it didn't fully end there. California sterilized 148 incarcerated women between 2006 and 2010. Many later saying they were coerced, and recently, as of 2017, a Tennessee judge offered inmates a 30-day sentence reduction in exchange for undergoing sterilization. So essentially, you get out 30 days earlier if you waive your right to ever reproduce again. Think about that. A whistleblower nurse alleged a pattern of non-consensual hysterectomies performed on women detained at Georgia's Irving County ICE facility. This sparked congressional calls for investigation and a formal complaint. ICE disputed the scale of the claims, and an AP investigation was unable to independently substantiate mass hysterectomies at the facility. Though it did find credible individual complaints, report this accurately as a disputed investigated allegation from 2020. So it's not proven, still ongoing. But don't it make sense if you got somebody in 1950 standing up saying that it told a black audience directly that the goal was to stop what he called then illegitimate births in their country in 1950s, what do you think they'll be doing in ICE facilities in 2017? I don't know. I'm just saying. This isn't just an unproven conspiracy, y'all. Okay? This country ran and admitted, documented, state-funded program of coercive sterilization targeting black and poor women for nearly 50 years. They said it out loud in public hearings in the 1950s. accusations in 2017 of sterilizing people at ICE facilities. State-funded programs of coercive sterilization targeting black and poor women for nearly 50 years. Said it out loud in public hearings and echoes of the same instinct, a judge trading a shorter sentence for state. Come on, man. Come on, man. I can't make this up. This is here. Showed up again as recently as 2017. We'll be back, y'all, after these messages. When we come back, we're going to talk about what that looks like in Milwaukee, right here on the Grapevine on your award-winning 101.7 The Truth.